Today, the beverage aisle looks a lot different than it used to. America's beverage companies are working together. We're delivering the options everyone wants. In fact, nearly 60% of beverages Americans buy have zero sugar. You'll find more variety than ever, including more of your favorites, now available with zero sugar. You'll also find more sizes and clear calorie information on the front of every can, bottle, and pack. We know when it comes to finding balance, the more choices, the better.
Dave Moore
on Today FM.
How are you?
I'm very well, and yourself?
I'm fantastic.
You're looking good.
You're looking good.
You're smelling good. I want to say that. I don't wish to, you know, bring it down to physicality immediately, but yeah. Damn, girl.
Damn, girl,
what you got on? Do you ever reveal your scent? Obviously, some people do, some people don't. Some people like to keep it a secret.
Mine's actually called I Don't Know What, so...
That's the name of it.
That's actually the name.
I Don't Know What by Cian DeCroix.
Yeah, I have so many though. I love smells, so I just have a huge selection and I just mix them all up and I put way too much on, but there's nothing better than...
There's nothing
worse than smelling, thinking you smell bad, so I just like make sure I layer up for the whole day.
And funny enough, I'm one of those people who I never wear aftershave of any, I never wear scent of any description. I've never had anyone tell me I smell bad, but also I've never had anyone tell me I smell of anything because I just kind of don't, I guess.
When someone tells you you smell good though, it's it's a game changer.
There you go. I should have
put a bit on and then someone's gonna be like, Dave, you smell delicious.
All of a sudden, you smell something.
I'm gonna wear this every day.
Listen, what an exciting time for you. Like there's so much happening. It's hard to know where to start. Let's go to the most recent thing, which is you've just announced an album.
Yeah.
A second album's coming out.
Even better than the first.
See, this is the difficulty. And I often talk to artists about this, and it's a worldwide thing. Everyone knows that you've all of your life to release your first album.
Yeah.
And then you've a couple of weeks to release your second album.
Yeah.
Because it all of a sudden it's like, oh, everything you've been working on for 25 years and whatever, and you put it all out. And then it's like, I demand an album immediately, Keane.
Exactly.
Has it felt like that, or have you had time to kind of settle and spend time and find what you need?
I definitely had time to do it.
That's so good.
I was granted a lot of time, which is very, very great. And, you know, it's actually kind of, obviously, that's the classic thing, like you said, with the album first and second. But in a way, my first album was almost more fast and quick because it was like, I was writing songs. And then suddenly I had a hit and another hit. And then it was like,
we need an album.
Yeah, 14 tracks in a month. That are good enough, and that's what I did.
That's supposed to be the second album, so you had that for the first album.
Yeah,
right.
And then second album, I was like, now I need to make something good and better, and I don't know what I'm going to do, so I need to take some time to get it right. So I took a lot of time, and I wrote like over 100 songs. I think I made something good.
Oh, you definitely made something good, from what I've heard. Okay, so first thing I heard was Who's Making You Feel It?
Yeah.
Absolutely adore that song.
Oh, thank you
it's
so much.
It's so good.
Thank you.
But then you come back out and you smack us in the face with Little Dreaming.
Yeah.
Which I think might be my favorite of all of your songs so far.
Oh, thank
you. Genuinely mean
so
that.
Like, much.
Is it just me or does it feel a little different for Cian DeCroix? I think it does.
100%. I think even Who's Making You Feel It feels sort of different. But I think it was like, again, I wrote so many songs and I went on this journey that I really wanted to get on and get to and just find this music that felt like... I think you're always, as an artist, you're trying to finally find that space where you feel like, I found me. Like, all of the sides of me. And I'd found bits of me, you know.
Sure.
I'd found, like, these... obviously, I love singing ballads and sad songs, emotional songs, strip stuff, and all this different kind of stuff that I'd done on the first album. But I knew there was so much more.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I'm going to get there. And then eventually... without telling the whole long story, but it just took a really long time. And then sort of eventually I just broke all these walls down and I just started creating completely free. And then these crazy songs started coming out, like Little Dreaming and like stuff that I would have never allowed myself to do before.
Gotcha. That's interesting. Because it does, as I said, I wasn't sure whether I was right about that, but it did feel new to me. It did feel like a different version of you, but one I was really excited to hear.
Thank you.
It's now the title of the album as well.
Absolutely.
Just announced.
Yeah.
Followed by 2 dates in the Marquee in Cork.
Yeah.
So the 19th and 20th of July, that's going to be something else.
I know, yeah.
I mean, that's the dream venue for a Cork man, right?
You got to love a back-to-back show
as
well. Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, getting chill.
One of my favorite artists in the world and one of the nicest guys I've ever met and hung out with is Teddy Swims.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And to put you two together is genius. So what was that scenario like playing those shows with him?
The most... sort of pressure I think I've ever felt constantly night after night to be good and to perform at like the highest possible level. And I think I there's shows that you have in your life where you like unlock a new level.
Right.
And I don't think I've ever had more of those in my life than opening for Teddy, because I think I just had to put, I just pushed myself so much every night because I knew that the next person coming on stage was about to give one of the greatest shows that anyone's ever going to see. And especially when you're the opening act and, you know, you're limited on your space and you're limited on all these things, you're like, you have to try, you like, it's really just down to your performance. Yeah. That's all you can do. And so I really, I loved it. I love Teddy so much.
He is, like, I thought, I don't think people realize just how sound.
So sound. Yeah, he's such a lovely guy. He's such a just a sweet, sweet man. And yeah, we've got a great relationship. We met like a couple of years ago, just on like a breakfast TV show.
Right.
We just hit it off really well, and I actually came to Dublin the day after we met. Yeah, and we've just sort of been in touch since, and it was just amazing to tour together. And it felt like a really cool show that sort of, it felt very connected, you know. I really felt like I was part of a really cool kind of thing, and I think because we are really good friends, it just felt just really special. It was kind of, it just felt really nice to be that person doing that, you know.
Amazing. The smart people around the world will have noticed that your second name is Ducrow.
Yeah.
And the Ducrow sounds pretty French.
Yeah.
So isn't there a French element to your heritage?
Yes, I'm half French. My mum is French.
Bon, tu as chanté les chansons dans le stade Viva.
Oui, bien sûr.
So it's an amazing opportunity then to sing the Irish national anthem, but also to get to sing the French national anthem when the rugby game is on. Like, what an honor.
I know, it was a huge honor. It was a huge honor, and it was like terrifying, definitely very terrifying. I don't get nervous for like anything really, but those kind of things that are like very under rehearsed and
didn't
very,
sound it
was that well, thank you very much. But I loved it. I mean, it's one of those things that you'll probably only do once in your life, and like that not many people will ever get to experience. So I felt just like, whoa.
And what's great, I think, about our anthem and obviously Ireland's Call, which is part of the rugby scenario, is like I've heard people sing the anthem of a lot of countries, you know, a lot of famous anthems, whatever, and they're great and all, but people interpret them and people do, like, they do too much, I think. But I think Our Own Aveen just lends itself to being sung beautifully, which is exactly what you did.
Thank you so much.
And I think it really, really worked. I was genuinely like excited to hear what you were going to do, and then I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah, I think it was right. the very first thing I thought, like, was just sing the song. Like, there's no, I don't want to embellish it and like annoy people and make people be like, oh, oversinger.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just singing the albums for everyone to sing along. So it was like, make it as simple as possible and just sing the tune. And I just wanted it to be as simple as I could make it. And it was real. And then I got to have a little bit more sort of fun when I did the Fields of Athenry.
Of course. So, yeah, you know, absolutely. And rightly so. Quick background. I don't know if you know this, but before I worked on radio, I was a songwriter and a producer. And at one point, I was on a long list for Grammys with band from Cork, a band called Mindride. And we did a song out. And anyway, got on a long list. Anyway, I've never won a Grammy, but I'm sitting opposite a man who did win a Grammy.
Yeah.
How was that experience? This is so incredible.
Yeah. I think it's like any of those sort of things that happen in your life doesn't really feel real. So still doesn't really feel real, I think. It's really crazy, you know, because it's like one of those things that you dream your whole life. Imagine being like a Grammy award winning songwriter. Imagine having a Grammy like one day, probably 50 years from now, I might pull it off. And then it just happened. And I was like, what?
Were you tuned in? Were you watching the awards? Were you like, you knew you were nominated on this song with SZA, but like, were you sitting there like with your parents going, this could be it? Or were you just like, oh, it's in the middle of the night, I'm going to go to sleep and see what happens?
Well, no. So, like when the nominations came out, I was just in a meeting and I didn't even know that they were happening that day.
Right.
So just for like the nominations, and we found out and I was like, oh my God, I didn't even think about the fact that this song could be nominated for a Grammy. It just flew over my head. I just completely forgot. So like, but then obviously if you're nominated, you go and you actually get to attend the Grammys. So I attended the Grammys. And it was absolutely insane. And again, did not expect that I would be standing up off of my seat when they called the category. I was just like with my best friends. My girlfriend was sat next to me and we were just in this row. Everybody's there. And they're like doing the nominees for the specific category, which is the best R&B song. And what's really crazy is my screensaver on my computer, my desktop background when I was 20. This sounds like crazy, but like I posted a picture of it because it's absolutely no word of a lie, and I can show you, was just a screenshot from a tweet from the Recording Academy, and it says, the Grammy for Best R&B Song goes to Keira
Crowe. And that was the one you had as a screen, that's what I got. Desktop.
That's my first Grammy, Best R&B Song. I didn't even make R&B music at the time.
No.
And I don't personally make R&B music, so it's like really specific manifestation. So it kind of feels like I'm living in a simulation. And like, I hope people believe that. Like, I've posted videos of this.
No, I've seen it.
I searched when I went home. I was like, I need to find this picture, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I had loads of friends and people that I knew that before I'd even post a picture, they replied to my story about it being like, I remember this. I remember laughing at it. And I remember people laughing at it being like, Grammy for Best R&B Song, like as if you get a Grammy anyway. And I did, and it's crazy.
It's incredible. I mean, like there are some of the best singers and songwriters in the world who don't have Grammys.
Exactly. So it's just like, why do I have one?
No, that's not what I was getting at. But, no, but I mean, to have achieved it so early in your career is just, you can go through a 50-year career and not win a Grammy for whatever reason, but you've done it.
I think the biggest thing for me is very early in my life, I was super inspired by Ed Sheeran. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest things that he inspired me for was that he was such a great songwriter and he wrote songs for other artists. And I think without him and without that inspiration, you know, I may have never wanted to sort of write for others.
Yeah.
And I just love it so much. I love writing songs. And so to have received my first Grammy as a songwriter is like, that's like extra great, you know, because it's like really based on like the craft and it's crazy.
Well, congratulations. It's incredible. A quick fire round before I let you go. What are you currently obsessed with?
What am I currently obsessed with? Tattoos.
Tattoos?
Yeah.
You've got many?
I have 29, I think.
That's many, yeah. Who's the most famous person in your phone? I mean, we've talked SZA, we've talked
probably,
Teddy.
Probably Ed Sheeran, I reckon.
Ed Sheeran, yeah.
You don't really get more famous.
No, you don't. So. That's top of the tree, in fairness.
Yeah.
Think back to when you were about 8 years old. What school were you in when you were in second class?
Gael School in the Dooglasha.
Shout out to Gael School. When it was lunchtime and the teacher said, open your lunchbox, what was inside Cian de Crowe's lunchbox?
A lot of very healthy stuff that my mom would make me eat. But I would always scam the people in my class and like trade for like their nice snacks. And my mom would open up my thing and be like, where did you get this Kit Kat? And I would like look at my friends. My brother loves to tell the story because he thinks it's so funny. But I would look at people in class and I'd be like, what's that? And they'd look at my lunch and I'd be like, oh, this Nutri-Grain or like carrots, you know?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, nah, man. And they'd be like, oh, I'd be like, you've never had carrots. Oh, these are unreal. They give you vision in the dark, you know? And they'd be like, no way. And I'd be like, look, fine. I'll trade you two carrots, but you're going to have to give me your full Kit Kat. And I'd be like, but only today. Like, don't ask me again tomorrow. And they'd be like, oh, unreal. I'd be your best friend, man. And I would just scam people into giving me all their snacks and trade them like the worst things ever.
Brilliant. And the final question I ask all my guests, and it's an odd one, so go with me for a second, is I don't wash my legs in the shower. Mm. Do you?
I can't say that I do necessarily. I can't, like, unless I've been like really sweaty, really dirty, then I'm like,
totally.
You're getting in the legs and you're like lathering up. But honestly, I think the big thing is like there's a way higher chance of like slipping and falling over and like dying or breaking some ribs.
If my wife or one of my daughters has had a shower and there's conditioner involved, I need to like start putting on down those kids like mats.
Yeah.
So
oh
I can
God.
Make sure I don't go upend myself in the shower. Cian, best luck with everything in 2025. It's great to catch
Thank
up.
Thank you.
And congratulations. Looking forward to the record.
Thanks so much. Dave Moore on
Today FM. Today, the beverage aisle looks a lot different than it used to. America's beverage companies are working together. We're delivering the options everyone wants. In fact, nearly 60% of beverages Americans buy have zero sugar. You'll find more variety than ever, including more of your favorites, now available with zero sugar. You'll also find more sizes and clear calorie information on the front of every can, bottle, and pack. We know when it comes to finding balance, the more choices, the better.